Okay, you ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Don't you forget, this is my life and it's gonna
be good. Don't you know? Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 48 of Design Yourself. I am your host, Sharon, and today I want to talk with you all about the process of getting back to work after taking a break. This is something that is very much on my mind, as you might imagine, as I am easing my way back into work after a delightful maternity leave with my third little one. And as I have been taking baby steps back into work, you know, things like last month I had three glorious half days where my mother-in-law watched little Ignatius, and I was able to start getting back into the execution mode, coming back into the big picture. And what I observed through this process of just a little bit of work is that there are some things that I found I was doing really well and some friendly reminders of things I wish I had done that I had not, giving myself lots of grace on that. But that is what inspired today's episode, to really share with you all things that I am observing about this process of getting back into work. And these are really not tips just for those of us who are getting back to work after an extended leave, something like parental leave or a sabbatical. These same tips apply both in those situations, but also in things that happen on a more routine basis. So when we're getting back to work after taking a vacation or getting back into work just after taking the weekend or whatever those set days off are that you have each week. So in that spirit, I wanted to offer these tips and resources to you all, because it can be really overwhelming to come back to work. I can certainly myself think of, you know, not related to being out for maternity leave, but even just coming back after a long weekend, or, you know, I see it even in dropping my kids off at daycare or school. You know, their teachers refer to the Monday blues. And I'm sure those of us who are working can easily tap into that mindset too. You know, you come back and it's just a readjustment. We're getting back into it. So regardless of the circumstances, these are tips and resources for you. And I wanted to begin by reading a little excerpt from a children's book, one that I love. So this is Frog and Toad Together. If you do not know Frog and Toad, it does not matter if you have kids. Please pick this up. They're awesome characters, characters invented by Arnold Lobel. Anyway, this is from a story that I love called A List. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'll kind of give you the gist and read a few excerpts. So it starts out like this. One morning, Toad sat in bed. "I have many things to do," he said. "I will write them all down on a list so that I can remember them." Toad wrote on a piece of paper, "A list of things to do today." Then he wrote, "Wake up." "I have done that," said Toad, and he crossed out, "Wake up." Then Toad wrote other things on the paper. So he puts down all of his items that he needs to do for the day. And then he reflects, "There," said Toad, "now my day is all written down." He goes on to then execute on the list. So he had, you know, gets up, he eats breakfast, and he crosses out, eats breakfast. He gets dressed and crosses out, eats, gets dressed. And the list goes on, and he finds himself with his very dear friend, Frog, because one of the things on his list was to go to Frog's house and then take a walk with Frog. So he's crossing those things off and going to do them. As he takes out of his pocket his list to cross off, take walk with Frog, because he's in fact taking a walk with Frog, the following happens. Just then, there was a strong wind. It blew the list out of Toad's hand. The list blew high up into the air. "Help," cried Toad. "My list is blowing away. What will I do without my list?" "Hurry," said Frog. "We will run and catch it."
"No," shouted Toad. "I cannot do that."
"Why not?" asked Frog.
"Because," wailed Toad, "running after my list is not one of the things that I wrote on my list of things to do."
Okay, so you will be relieved to know that while the list is not retrieved, despite Frog's speedy and valiant efforts without Toad's help, since it wasn't on his list, they make it through the day, and you know, and all ends well for Frog and Toad. But
what I love about this story is that it does show, I think, this desire that many of us, and I would raise my own hand, this desire that we have to create order and to feel like we're accomplishing things. So, and yet just by being organized or having a list doesn't give us the whole picture. So we see with Toad here where he's, you know, can't do something even that logically would make sense for him to do because it's not part of what he's supposed to be doing. It didn't make it onto the list. You know, how we can become slaves to the way that we're creating that structure. So, Anyway, with that as our backdrop, here's what I want to do in terms of setting structure for how we walk through what are some helpful ways to approach getting back into work. I want to really focus primarily on things that you can do when you're actually setting back into work. So in the present moment of you're diving back in, so it's Monday morning, you're just back after vacation, you're coming back after a sabbatical or an extended leave. But I don't want to ignore two other important components. And this is what you can do before you go to help you in getting back to work. So when you actually show up, and what you can do while you're away to support you in getting back to work when you show up there. But then, like I said, so we'll start with those two buckets and then we'll quickly get into what you can do when you return. And don't worry, it will be regardless of if you've executed on those other things that I've suggested before you go and while you're away. But I do think it's helpful to kind of think through what are some of those things you can do too. Okay, so before you go, there is really one main thing I want to emphasize, and that is capture everything that you are tracking for when you return. This is one of those things that when you're in the zone of, so it's Friday afternoon and you've been going through your week, or you know you're preparing to be away for vacation or an extended leave, it's fresh in your mind. This is not something that I did before I went out on maternity leave, and I have found that coming back into work, a lot of what I'm doing is just reminding myself of what I had been tracking before. So that's on me and gives a sense of what are the systems I had or sometimes did not have in place to pull those things out. But if you can capture everything that you are tracking for when you return while it's fresh, it just takes less energy, it's easier, and it gives you a place to step back into when you do get back to work. So I'm a big proponent of making sure that you do that before you go. Don't worry if you don't, but I think it's an excellent resource to tap into. And the general thing that I like to do for capturing everything that I'm tracking for when I return is to think about what are the big picture items that I need to be tracking. So these might be more strategic priorities, long-term initiatives or projects that I'm focused on. What are some of the everyday routines? So what are those things that whether it's I myself am executing or a member of my team is executing, what are those things that need to be running like clockwork each day, each week? And then thinking through some of the smaller tasks. So those are that's like one generic way that I'll think through it. In the line of work that I do, so you can kind of think about how this would apply back into your own work, I will also often think about internal projects or administrative things that I'm working on versus client work. And so I'll kind of break out, here are the clients that I'm serving, what are the individual things that I'm working on for that client versus what are some of those internal projects and strategic priorities that I'm also focused on. So each of us will have our own way of thinking out how we break out and organize that list. Don't overthink it. So I think part of the beauty is making it simple and straightforward. But that's one simple way that I like to approach it just to make sure I'm not missing things. Getting two heads down of just like, what do I need to execute this week, or being too lofty of just focusing on strategic initiatives, which is admittedly where I'm naturally drawn to. So that's a simple way that I like to approach it. And by the way, if you are into list making, check out episode 44 in the podcast, which is all about to-do lists, because you'll get this and many more things than to help you kind of think about how to break out an effective list in helping you work through things. I did on this, in this zone of capturing everything that you're tracking for when you return, I wanted to highlight something that my husband's work team does that I think is really effective and simple. So he's part of a communications team in the federal government, and they have something that they send out every day called a snapshot. So at the end of each day, and it gets sent out to a single individual. So everybody on the team sends out to one individual the following. It's a simple bulleted list of 3 to 6 items that they're tracking for the next business day. So it might be, tomorrow I'm going to be on leave. Tomorrow I'm going to be traveling out to this site as part of my work. It might be, hey, here's the 6 communications pieces that I'm going to be working on tomorrow. The person who receives them, and by the way, that person is designated and rotating. So everybody on the team plays this role at some point, except for the supervisor of the team. But that designated person collates the information from the whole team and then sends it out to everybody. The only thing they're adding in is the name of the person and then their list. So anybody on the team can look at it and get a sense for, when they come in the next day, who's working on what, where are they? You can imagine how, if you think somebody's working on something and it's not showing up on their list, that might be a trigger to you to ask for help. If you're the supervisor, maybe you notice that the person's list hasn't changed for a week and you might ask, hey, what's going on? All these things are kind of look like they're not, nothing's moving off your plate. Can I step in? Can I help? But this is their simple snapshot that they do every day. So I've seen other organizations who will have project management tools like Basecamp or Trello or Asana, things like that, that they'll use for the same purpose. But I love that this is a way to have a system that's just tapping into something simple like email. So that's one thing that they do every day that I think is super effective. So that's their quote unquote snapshot. And then the other thing that that they will do is they will send a punch list. This is what they call it. And their punch list is what an individual is required to send out before they go on vacation. And that vacation might be for 2 days, it might be for 2 weeks. But the punch list really is, imagine it kind of subbing in for the snapshot, because you're giving that overview of everything that I'm tracking before I go out on leave. And it is a prompt for individuals to say, hey, who's covering things for me while I'm gone? And maybe you realize when you're writing your punch list, shoot, I'm tracking this and I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. And it's really important that somebody's covering me for this and I don't have that person yet. So it's a reminder to find that. Maybe you're only stepping away for 2 days and you're like, you know what? It's going to be fine. It's not worth it for me to transition or educate someone on this, but they're going to know that I'm still tracking it if somebody else reaches out and asks about it. So snapshot, punch list, 2 simple ways that if you're putting this kind of capturing everything that you're tracking for when you return into a team setting. And I really liked those. The other piece that I want to call out related to what you can do before you go, and this gets a little bit into what I was talking about on the punch list, is delegate what you don't need to do. So when we step away, I think sometimes there's this mentality of, and I myself have been guilty of this, where we think like, oh, going away on vacation is just like, you know, really I'm putting in all the extra hours of work beforehand and afterhand to make up for taking the time that I'm away, which underneath of that kind of martyr-like mentality is this feeling of, because I'm the person who has to do it. And what I would challenge you to is, you are not always the person that has to do it. So where can you find opportunities to delegate, do that, let it go? And one great way to make that work well is have part of that delegation be that you're going to get an update on the status of it, you know, the day before you return, so that when you're getting back into work, you can see, okay, here's where things are. Because let's remember, delegation doesn't mean I let go and never look at it again. It means I'm still owning it. I'm still the person who's accountable to that thing being done, but somebody else is actually doing the execution of it. They are responsible for making it happen, because I'm not the person who needs to be physically doing it myself. So before you go, if you can, capture everything that you're tracking for when you return in whatever way makes sense for you, and delegate what you don't need to do, right? Really push yourself to think about, what could you let go of so that things can still be happening even when you yourself are not doing it. That's how we scale. That's how we build our capacity. Okay, so that's what you can do before you go. Now, while you are away, 2 things I want to say, and I'm just going to call it out before I say it. They could be construed as being contradictory, but I'll tell you how I'm thinking about it. So the first thing is, while you are away, allow yourself to really be away. Give yourself the mental break. I have worked with many people. I myself have been in this situation where they're going on quote unquote vacation, but they're, you know, still glued to their phones, checking email all the time, taking calls. Or how many of us have had the situation where we have a boss who goes away and then the whole time they're away while you're still operating and they're copied on things and, you know, that's kind of the culture of your workplace. And they're, or maybe they're not copied on it, but they keep weighing in. Like, this is somebody who said they're away, but then they keep, they're seemingly virtually present the whole time, which sends a whole nother mixed message of, does that mean when I'm away that I need to be tapped in that way? Cause that's what my boss is doing, right? We get a lot of these mixed messages and we ourselves can propagate it that when we're away, we're actually still connected. And I'm here to tell you there is a lot of value in being able to just take the break. In fact, an very early episode of Design Yourself that I still get a lot of positive feedback from people on is the importance of taking breaks. I think we all need to be reminded of this from time to time. So if that's something you need, it's episode 4, I'll have it in the show notes. There's a lot of data that shows us that taking time off is critical. And I'm actually going to link to a really great organization called Project Time Off, that their whole focus is on the benefits that taking time off can deliver. And they have been tracking this trend that we have seen over time that Americans in particular are taking less and less time off. So we've actually seen a dramatic decrease since 2000 in how many days off that we're taking collectively, even though these are allocated to us. So of vacation time we have, less vacation is being utilized. It's not that we're getting less vacation from our employers, but we're just not utilizing it. Lots of reasons behind it. So I don't want to simplify it here, but what they have observed, this organization, is that, you know, nearly 2/3 of employees say that their concentration and their productivity at work is improved when they take time off. And by the way, that number goes up when you get the perspective of senior leadership. So 91%, when you ask senior business leaders, they're observing that 91% of them, of these senior leaders, are saying that they believe employees return from vacation recharged and renewed and ready to work more effectively. So there's lots of data. This is just a quick snapshot of it that makes the argument that taking your vacation is a huge benefit. And so we've got to make sure that we're doing it. So let yourself be away when you're away. And as Project Time Off would argue, make sure you're taking the time off. There is, you know, slight side tangent, but I was happy when I was taking a look at Project Time Off that for the first time since 2000, we've actually seen an increase in the number of days off that Americans are taking by a half day. So it's not to say we've reversed the trend entirely and it's, you know, suddenly we're now taking our, you know, pre-2000 levels of vacation, woohoo. We're seeing just a half day. So we still have a lot more work to be done in this realm. But I thought that was great to see that we are starting to see some positive trends here in terms of how we're actually taking, how much time we're actually taking off. So when you go away, let yourself be away. Letting ourselves fully unplug, there's all kinds of neuroscience data for that around how there's benefits from actually letting our minds fully rest. So let yourselves be away. Now here's the somewhat contradictory or seemingly contradictory feedback that I want to give you about while you're away. And this is, create meaningful vacation boundaries for yourself. You know, at the end of the day, there is no such thing as work-life balance where we can segment, this is me at work, this is me in my life, and, you know, I'm going to divide it all up, and, you know, here's how I'm going to show up as my work self, here's how I'm going to show up as my life self. We are one person, and we've got to think about ourselves as an integrated whole. That's how we can be fully present and fully giving and most impactful in all areas of our life and work. So I think that that's really important. And we know ourselves best and what's going to work. You know, I will say for myself, I have podcasted about this several times, or about me stepping out on maternity leave this time, setting this boundary of taking 40 days of rest. And I did, and it felt great. And yet I didn't mean that I never posted on social media or that I never picked up and did something related to the podcast. In fact, I did most of my intro and outros for interviews I had recorded in advance of maternity leave. I did those intros and outros real time as I was releasing the podcast. Same thing. I had set up a whole blog series to do in advance while I was on my maternity leave. And yet I did reflections from the present day while I was taking my break. For me, those boundaries worked most of the time. There were a couple of times where I was up really early looking to get it done, maybe working less well in those moments, all good learning for me. But I set boundaries that worked for me and I owned them versus being saying, well, but I said I'm taking this break so I can't do anything, like letting that larger boundary be restrictive. So here's the thing. It seems contradictory, right? I'm telling you, take your time off and really let yourself be away. And yet I'm also saying create meaningful vacation boundaries for yourself. Here's my guidance. If I'm coaching someone through a situation like this, it's really going to be about, is it working for you? And you are going to know that better than me. My challenge is if you find yourself to be the kind of person who finds it really hard to step away from work, I want you to question that much more if you're saying you want to have a boundary that has you working while you're away. And on the flip side, if you find yourself really overwhelmed when you take the time off and you find yourself super overwhelmed when you come back to work, but you feel like, but I can't, you know, it's important. I'm supposed to not work on Saturday or Sunday. Well, if spending 30 minutes reviewing how you're prepping for your week on Sunday evening makes your work week that much better and makes you feel that much less anxious on Sunday evening, well, that probably makes sense for you. So you have to know what's going to work for you on this. And so I'm not telling you should work a little bit while you're away or you should work a ton while you're away. I'm just saying there's real value in unplugging, right? And the science backs us up on our minds need a break. And you've got to create the meaningful vacation boundaries for yourself, right? So that's how I want you to think about it. All right, so that's what you can do while you are away. And now let us dive into what you can do when you return. So here we are, like imagine yourself stepping back on a Monday morning, or maybe you're coming back from vacation on a Thursday morning, whatever it is. Here you are stepping back into work, and I have 5 things that I want to suggest that you do. First thing, get organized. You will see this taps back into, if you've done these things I've suggested before, it could be as simple as pulling out the list you wrote beforehand and having that list. It may be that you, like me, when I came back from maternity leave, are like, oh man, what was all that stuff that I was tracking? And you're writing that list and creating that sense of order. Maybe you have that project management software and you're just opening that back up. And maybe you work on a team and you're getting a sense of what's happening on the team and maybe having a meeting with an important person or a few important key people to kind of get organized as you step back in. So you will know for the circumstances of you coming back, whether it's from an extended leave or vacation or just coming back from the weekend, what is required for creating that sense of feeling organized. But getting organized is the first step because that's what has us operating from a place of purpose and intention versus just, you know, wild frenzy. So get organized on where you're going to focus your time and efforts. Next thing you want to do, so number 2 when you return, is set and limit your priorities. So you're going to have this big list of everything that you can be doing, but guess what? You can't actually hold doing more than 3 or 4 things at once. You guys have heard me talk about this on the podcast before. We literally cannot remember more than that at one time. And, you know, unless you have been trained special and have some superpower memory, you may be able to hold more. But let's just assume that most of us are average here. I would certainly put myself in this category. And so what we can remember is 3 to 4 things. So you cannot have more than 3 to 4 priorities. And since it's 3 to 4, I'm going to tell you don't have more than 3 priorities, period. Doesn't mean you can't track more than that, but the priorities that you're holding can't be more than 3. Now, there is a really cool way of organizing this, and I've been seeing this pop up in things like my Instagram feed, and so I wanted to share it for you all. And this is the Kanban method. And that's the idea that you want to be able to track visually all the things that you are that are on your list. Then next step is to move from that list. So choose from that list. What are the three things I'm going to be focused on? So this is what you're doing. So you have your whole list of all the things you could choose from. Then you have a second column, which is visually. I'm moving from that first column into the third column. This is what I'm doing. No more than three things. And when you do that one thing from that list, you move it off and over into done. And that frees up, because now you only have two things remaining. It frees up one more spot. So you go back to that list of all your priorities, all those choices, move one into doing, and the path continues. So you finish something, you move it into done, which is your third column, and go back into your first column, all the things you could be doing, and move it into the next one. So I like this because it's a way to take that big list that you have and start to break it down into meaningful steps. And this is actually a process. There's many organizations that are out there and iterating on it and making it their own. And I think that's great. But it originated from Toyota and the lean process tied to manufacturing. So I'll put a link to kind of a history around that if you're interested in checking it out, or just Google Kanban. It's K-A-N-B-A-N, and you will find videos and all kinds of tutorials that you can check out and see what works for you. But that's a fun way to be able to set and limit your priorities. You know, whether or not you're doing it through Kanban or not, the idea here is you take that from step one, your order that you've created, and now you're limiting it to no more than three things of what your priority is. And then you're in this process of executing, getting things done off that list, and then adding what's the priority now that I've gotten that other thing done. One of the things I really like about this, outside of the fact that it's creating a limit, which is tied to how many things we can actually hold at once to do, is it also allows us to get things done, because we're only focusing on three things. We see things through to fruition. And when we have that kind of success of seeing, like, yes, I got the win, I got it done, I checked it off, it helps us build momentum. So there's more to it than you know, meets the eye on, okay, I've set these priorities and I'm limiting it, but it's actually helping steward us to see things happen and get done. And that is a good connection point to my number three item on what you can do when you return to work. So you're getting back into it. And that is, find a small win and get it done from start to finish. It's so easy to find ourselves in a situation where we choose three, you know, priorities for what we need to get done, and they're like these big meaty things that have like 19 steps that sit underneath of it. Don't do that. You've got to be able to break it down so that you can see, what's something that I can actually get done? One, because it makes it actionable, versus, hey, my focus is, I'm trying to think of what would be a good thing here. You know, my focus is on inventing, you know, creating this new content and even bigger, I'll put in my own context, releasing an online course. This is something that I will be doing with Point Road. I'm pretty excited about it. Won't say any more about what it's all going to look like yet, but it's something I'm actively working on. So the big initiative is rolling out online course offered by Point Road. Okay. That's the big thing. But like, I can't act on that. Like I cannot today release to you all what the course is. There's a lot of things that sit underneath of that. I have to finalize the content. I have to, even before that, you know, you could think about like identifying who the ideal client is for this content, making sure that, you know, developing the content and making sure it connects back to what that problem is for that ideal client, thinking through the sales process of marketing this, working with my designer to create final materials for it, and on and on and on and on, right? All of these things that sit underneath of it. Well, my point here on finding a small win and getting it done from start to finish is, don't have the thing on your priority list being just the big lofty, like, roll out new online course. Find something that you can get done so you can check it off and build that momentum. This is where I think our friend Toad from the earlier story was onto something, because there is something too, as you move through your day, hey, I'm going to eat breakfast, and I ate breakfast, and I'm celebrating it and checking it off. And then I'm going to get dressed, and I got dressed, and I'm and I did it and I'm checking it off. Like when we are building that momentum and we're seeing the things that we've gotten done growing, it does build for most of us. It builds momentum. So find a small win and get it done from start to finish. And I would push everyone to do this, but especially those of us who find ourselves paralyzed by, but it's got to be done perfectly, or there's so many other things I could do, or fill in the blank with what your excuse is. If you can see in yourself that you're creating excuses for just moving forward, find something small and get it done. Give yourself the win. So that's number three for when you return. So you've gotten organized, you've set and limit your priorities. Now you've found that small win and you've got it done start to finish. Item number four that I want you to focus on for when you're getting back into work is to pay attention to your energy, not your time. There's a great HBR article on managing your energy, not your time. I'll link to that in the show notes. But here's the thing. How we move through our days is it's really not about how busy we are or how many hours we have in the day. I can't even put my finger on it because I hear about this all the time. You know, oh, if only I had more time. If I don't have the hours in the day to think, like all of that. It's a natural way of seeing things that many of us get organized by. And it makes sense because most of us have schedules that we're adhering to, and our Outlook, our Google calendars are pinging us and we're like, okay, the time's up, next thing, on to the next time block that I've allocated. But to be really productive, has far less to do with how many hours we have in the day than the quality of energy that we're bringing into the work that we're doing. And here's an intuitive way to understand that. You know, most of us can think about times where we've worked very few hours, whether that for us is we worked an hour that day or a half day or whatever, where we've worked a little bit of time in that day. And at the end of that time that we worked, we have been exhausted. Like we just, man, I put in an hour, but that hour, like I just couldn't get focused and I felt overwhelmed and our energy levels were low. It feels like a net negative of where our energy is at. And that feels exhausting versus most of us will also have instances where we've worked super long days, whether that's 10 hours or 16 hours for us, whatever that we pulled an all-nighter, whatever it is. But at the end of it, we're like still buzzing with energy. We feel excited. The momentum's there. It feels like this positive energy, even though we've worked so much, we've put in so much time. And well, of course, if we're, you know, working 16 hours a day on a regular basis, I'm going to talk to you about burnout. Like when you there are times we're putting in that extra time, the extra time actually builds our energy level and it's a positive. And that's what you want to pay attention to is my energy level a net positive or am I finding it a net negative? And you want to keep yourself in the positive. Things that are going to build your energy level, by the way, are things like physical movement, doing things that excite you. That does not mean we can skip the things that matter that are maybe less exciting to us. You got to do those things too. So I'm not here to say, hey, get rid of all the things you don't like doing. That's not going to be an effective way to work. But don't do all the things that you hate doing on the same day from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, because you're going to be so drained. Let's say you did that on your Monday, that you're going to be like, you know, sludging it through for the rest of the week. So you want to find the things that you can be doing that are going to build your energy, the tasks you love doing. Maybe you love being in, you're a person who loves being in meetings. Maybe you're a person who's drained by it. Well, think about how you're structuring your day, structuring your week in a way that keeps you in the positive. And like I said, make sure that part of that way that you're keeping yourself in the positive is by having physical breaks. I know that most of the people who are listening to the podcast tend to have jobs that require them to be in a place, whether it's at a computer or at a workstation. And when we're in those stationary places, it becomes all the more important that we're giving ourselves the time to lift out and move. So thinking about how you're keeping your energy in the positive, pay attention to your energy, not time. And then the fifth and final thing that I want to talk about for when you get back to work that's going to help you when you're actually stepping back into it is to tap into mission and purpose. You don't want to step into your work just purely from the list mode, right? This is what Toad's missing from that story is, you know, if he doesn't understand like, well, what's the bigger purpose in my life? He could just have a list every day of eat breakfast, get dressed, go to sleep, And he's executing on his list, but that's not a life that I think most of us, including Toad, would want to be leading. So what are the kind that I think asking yourself the mission and purpose, make sure that the things that you're tracking, what goes on to the list, what's keeping you organized in that first step here, you're making sure that those things tie into the bigger direction that you want to be moving towards, and that you're not just blindly executing on things that quote unquote need to get done, but that you're choosing what's going to get done for the sake of this bigger mission, this bigger purpose that you have. You know, I noticed for myself stepping back into work after the arrival of Ignatius that it was really easy because I had not created the list to get very heads down on, but what are all those things? Like, I still wanted to get updated on the website, and what did I tell clients I was going to send, or fill in the blank, right? I'm just really in this zone of check things off the list. What do I need to get done? And being able to step back and say to myself, okay, forget all that. I mean, I'm going to come back to it. It's important. I don't want to have things fall through the cracks, but what are the things that are making me really excited? Like, think about the impact I'm having on these clients that I'm working with, and thinking about who are the clients that need to pick back up sooner than others, and making sure those were the first people I was reaching out to. And by the way, having a few client interactions in those first few days that I was back working, and I just had 1 to 2 a day, gave me such positive momentum on the client work as I'm now stepping back in this month here in June to be doing more work. I'll be migrating at the second half of this month, where I've got 25 hours a week that I'm back in and working. But just having that 1 to 2 hours a day gave me just a little bit of a push and reminder of like, oh yeah, like this is why I love doing what I do. It's for the sake of the kind of impact I can have for these clients and the kinds of people that I'm getting to serve and organizations that I'm getting to serve. And then the other thing is, so you want to think about it inside the work, but also like work for the sake of what? You know, even though I love my work and it does feel like a vocation and not just a job that pays the bills, there's a whole other life beyond the work that I'm doing. And so for me, it's also about tapping back into the mission and purpose of, for the sake of what in my life am I doing this work? And that allows me to keep in mind that when I've carved out that, as I have this summer, I'm not coming back into a full-time work week so that I can have more time with my three little kids, that when I hold that as the focus, it reminds me and keeps me focused on. So I need to be protective of the quality of time when I'm with my kids. Otherwise, why did I have this extra time? If I'm stressed out about the work I need to be doing and can't fully appreciate and create the kind of memories I want to be creating for myself and for my family, then I'm missing the bigger picture. So tap into mission and purpose for your work, and for the sake of what is this work happening, to help you keep focused on the quality that you're bringing back into it. Now, I will say this last one tends to be more important when we're coming back after a longer time away. And yet, even when we're coming back to Monday, I would argue that if we have a sense of mission and purpose in what we're doing in our work, and maybe there's less of reinventing it each week, but we just are holding it, that's going to bring a different quality of focus and energy into the work that we're doing when we feel like we have that. And not mission and purpose as like, check the box, this is what they told me at work, this is what it says on the website that we haven't updated in 15 years, but a true like living mission and purpose that you are feeling when you step into that work. If you've got that, you will operate in a different way and it'll make an impact. So my friends, that is what I wanted to share with you all today related to what you can do as you step back into work. So just to recap, before you go, you can capture everything that you're tracking for when you return, and you can make sure that you're delegating what you don't need to do. While you're away, hold this paradox with me, because I'm telling you they fit together. Both allow yourself to be really away and create meaningful vacation boundaries for yourself. And then finally, when you return to it, when you get back into the work, get organized, set and limit your priorities, find a small win and get it done from start to finish. Pay attention to your energy, not your time, and tap into mission and purpose. All right, so that is it for today. If you are interested in learning more about what I do or dropping me a direct line, you can do so over at pointroadstudios.com. While you're there, look for the green box to subscribe to our online community. That's going to allow you to get access to show notes as soon as they're released each Monday. For the podcast, you'll also see things like blog posts and special updates, like when I had done earlier this year, a poster giveaway. So there are people who get those updates who are part of this community. And then finally, before I officially sign off for today, please help me get the word out about the show. So tell your friends if you think that this is something that would be useful to them or your colleagues. And then also think about subscribing and writing a review for the show. And you can head over to Apple Music or wherever you listen to podcasts, Stitcher, etc., and write us a review. That makes a big impact into the kinds of people that are able to get access and track with the show. So thank you in advance for doing it. I really appreciate it. Thank you as ever for tuning in and listening. I am wishing each of you a beautiful summery week. And until next time, remember, there is nothing stopping you. So go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.